भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्री भगवान उवाच इत्येतद् ब्रह्मणा पुत्रा अश्रुत्यात् मानुशासनम् सनन्दनम् अथानुनर्चु सिद्धा ज्ञात्वात्मनो कथिम् श्री भगवान उवाच इत्येतद् ब्रह्मणा पुत्रा आश्रुत्यात्मानुशासनम् सनन्दनम् अथानर्षु सिद्धा ज्ञात्वात्मनो गतिम् श्रीभगवान् उवाच इत्येतद् ब्रह्मणा पुत्रा आश्रुत्यात्मानुशासनम् सनन्दनम् अथानर्षु सिद्धा ज्ञात्वात्मनो कथिम् Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. The Supreme Lord Sri Narayan Rishi said, Iti, thus, Etat, this, Brahmana, O Brahma, Putra, the son, Asuratya, having heard, Atma, about the self, Anushashanam, instruction, Sanandanam, the sage Sanandana, Atta, then, Anarchu, they worshipped, Siddha, perfectly satisfied, Gyatva, understanding, Atmanaha, their own, Gatim, ultimate destination. The Supreme Lord, Sri Narayan Rishi, said, having heard these instructions about the Supreme Self, the Personality of Godhead, the sons of Brahma now understood their final destination. They felt perfectly satisfied and honored Sanandana with their worship. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Atma Nushashanam can be understood both as instructions given to benefit the Jiva souls and as instructions about the living entity's relationship with the foundation of all existence. Similarly, Atmano Gatim means both the destination of the Jiva soul and the means of reaching the Supreme Soul. By hearing the 28 prayers of the personified Vedas, which comprise the elucidation of the Brahmopanishad, spoken at the beginning of this chapter, the sages assembled in Brahmaloka made great progress toward their goal of pure love of God.
Om Agyan Timidandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Nilidam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tatati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Sutapatakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsa Sri Rupam Sadrachataham Sahakana Raghunatham Pitam Tham Sajivam Sadvaitam Sapatutam Harijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padahan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Bitancha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Thakta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
I offer my gratitude to all of the assembled devotees. Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, entitled The Prayers of the Personified Vedas, Text 42. In the previous chapter, Shukadev Goswami concluded with the story of Krishna going to Mithila to meet his two beloved devotees, Bahulaswa, who was the royal king, who resided in a magnificent palace, had a family, had armies, had autonomous control over mass treasury, and Shrutadev, who was a simple Brahmin, who by material standards lived what we would consider poverty. He begged for alms, little rice, that's what grows up there, a little hut with no furniture. They both offered Krishna their invitation. Krishna tells in Gita, Samoham Sarvabhutesho, that he's equal to everyone. The only thing that Krishna sees of any value in all of creation is devotion, love, compassion. So they were both equally wealthy, and at the same time they were both equally detached. In the second canto, actually the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Queen Kunti addresses Krishna as a kinchana gochara. Great wealth, knowledge, fame, high birth, she declared are potentially the greatest disqualifications to actually connect with Krishna. Because the tendency of having any of those things is they can make us proud. And that pride is the one and only reality that keeps us bound to this material world. The entire creation and all of our conditionings and all of our sufferings are built on a house with the foundation of the ahankara, the false ego. We may have just a little one-room flat built on that foundation, or we may have a skyscraper with 102 floors, What is important is we understand why there is suffering in this world, why we are disconnected from our Supreme Source or Krishna. Akinchana is one who does not feel he or she has anything. Everything is God's property. Krishna tells in Gita, Sarva Loka Maheshwara. Our body, our mind, our power of intelligence, our material bodily facilities, our influence, they are all God's property. And when we simply recognize that and live with that humility, depending on His mercy at every step in our life, living in harmony with His wishes, ultimately everyone is very dear to Krishna. But those who are willing to surrender the most dear thing in all of creation, our ego, for Krishna's pleasure, yayatamam prapatyante, Krishna reciprocates, we are most dear. And when He reveals Himself to us, He is most dear to us. After they both offered the best they could, Krishna accepted them all with equal happiness and gave them both the same exact equal destination. Loving devotion to Himself. Then He explained to Shrutadeva, who just offered very sweet prayers, that these sages who are with me, you should honor them, you should worship them, just exactly as you would worship me, because they are very dear to me. These Brahmins, these sages that came along with Krishna, they were traveling throughout the lands, serving Krishna by spreading Krishna's message, by sharing Krishna's message. And because that service is so dear to the Lord, Krishna considers Himself to be the servant of such a devotee. In fact, Krishna tells Shrutadeva and Bahulasva that you cannot actually please me and properly worship me unless you give appropriate worship and service to my devotees. And that's the conclusion of the chapter. In this chapter, 87, Parikshit Maharaj begins with this question. The Brahmins, they are speaking from Vedas. But the Vedas mainly deal with material nature. Even Krishna tells us, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarcha. Nirdvanvo nitya shakvashto niyo prakshima atmavan. That the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature. But we should understand that the purpose of all of them is to rise above these modes of nature, to be transcendental to all of them. Vedaishcha sarvairahameva vidyo vedanta krit veda vedevacha. Krishna tells, I am the original source of the Vedas. I'm the goal of the Vedas. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. So why would Krishna deal with the three modes of material nature so much in the Vedic literature? It is for the purpose of elevating our consciousness to be situated properly in the mode of goodness, sattva guna, so that we could actually be receptive to the transcendental plane of bhakti yoga. The four regulative principles we follow, we vow at the time of initiation, in and of themselves, they are not transcendental. They're just giving us some principles of the mode of goodness. But then we find in the Vedic literature, to become an actual devotee, there are so many values, so many principles that we must imbibe in our life. Truthfulness, humility, honesty, determination. And when the mode of goodness is directed toward the loving service of Krishna, and whatever influences of passion and ignorance may be there, we try to also transcend them by engaging them in the loving service of Krishna. Then our consciousness rises above the modes of nature. Because the jiva, the soul, is transcendental. It is satchit ananda. It is eternal. It is part and parcel of Krishna. Mamayavam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. So we are transcendental. But since time immemorial, being encaged within these material bodies, we have become so much affected by the infatuation of the ahankar or the ego. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. Everyone in the world, everywhere, every species of life are all thinking in terms of I and mine. I am this body. I am these thought patterns of the various samskaras or influences that I have experienced throughout this life and countless previous lives. And so many designations for this body we think to be me and mine, our possessions, our particular religious faith, our nationality, our caste, the particular clubs or organizations we may belong to, our abilities, our intelligence. We're all thinking this is mine. It's all built on this ahankar, this false ego. So the purpose of all the Vedas is to gradually bring us to the platform where we actually are willing to appreciate the truth. Jivera Swarupoi Krishna Nityadas. I'm eternally a servant of Krishna. And Varnashram Dharma is the path of living according to our responsibilities, according to our nature, according to our guna, our karma, our particular duties and place in society. And Daivi Varnashram is to perform all these duties to dovetail, as Prabhupada would say, our nature and all the gifts that we have in life, the gift of the capacity to think, to breathe, the gift of having a heart that beats. You may not be appreciating that with every heartbeat, but if you have a heart attack, you start to appreciate it. You may not appreciate the breath, that every breath you breathe, but if you have an asthma attack, you appreciate it. You may not appreciate the nice little house and food that you have, but if there's an earthquake and you lose your house and there's nothing to eat, then you appreciate what you had. It's an unfortunate condition, but it's a reality for practically everyone in the world. We don't really appreciate how these things are gifts of God until we either lose them or we're on the verge of losing them. And that's why Krishna creates the universe. In the commentaries of this chapter, it is described how the Supreme Truth, Parameshwar, Krishna, creates this cosmic manifestation and gives the jiva, the soul, within his creative potency, intelligence, a mind, senses, and the vital airs of life. And all species have various degrees of these created elements. They give us an opportunity to try to enjoy, to fulfill our desires. We want to be controllers, enjoyers, proprietors. And when you hear dogs barking, it's hard for us to understand the psychology of dogs. But Srila Prabhupada, knowing the soul, he was explaining when the dogs are going ruff, ruff, ruff. They are protecting what they believe is their property. This is my house. Or we have sometimes walked through the streets of India and there's packs of dogs attacking each other because they come into their area. Yes? It may be your property from a perspective of you have the legal title and the deed and you bought it by honest procedures. So it's your property. But when a dog comes on your property and sees another dog, bah, 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 this is my property. Because they have these territorial ego. They have this need to feel this is mine. But then you can take, a stick and chase the dog away because it's your property. Yes? But he's identifying it as much as you are, as his property or her property, and you're thinking it's your property. But then the government can come with a stick and kick you off.